Or you will also find the words on the screen, the love of Jesus. Let's stand, please, as we sing. Let's come to pray now as we thank God for the tender love of the Savior, the love of God, for God is known as love. And as we come to Him tonight, we thank Him for what He has done. We praise Him for His everlasting mercy and for His grace to us. We have tasted the Lord is good and He is gracious. Let's seek Him now. Father, we give thanks tonight for every song, every hymn, every psalm of praise which speaks of the love of Thee, our Father, to us, of the love of our Savior. And no greater love could He have shown to us but to come to this earth, to die upon a cruel cross, that we might be forgiven of our sin and have a home in heaven, and to know, O God, that we have only eternity to look forward to with Thee, no matter what this life holds for us. And, O God, we have been reminded again today that there are Your servants that do not know what a day will bring forth. We pray for that elderly couple that was taken captive in Africa by those extremists. We pray, O God, for blessing and protection to be upon them. We think of that lady, Amy, who lost her husband in that explosion. O God, comfort her heart tonight. This is just, Lord, a small example of the Church of Christ that is persecuted worldwide. And, O God, we pray that we might be mindful of those that are in bonds, those that are suffering because of their testimony and their life. And we pray, Father, that daily we would be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, Because we don't know when our time will be called to go through some similar type of suffering. Lord, equip us, we pray. Fill us with the Spirit of power, wisdom, of grace. And we pray that we would know more of the Savior. We think of what Paul prayed in Philippians 3. Oh, that I might know Him and the power of His resurrection and the fellowship of His sufferings. Lord, this word that was put into the heart of Your servant so many years ago, and we would pray the same prayer. Lord, help us to understand what that means. Help us to know the power of the resurrection of our Lord Jesus Christ. But Lord, help us also to understand the fellowship of His sufferings. Dear Father, teach us what it means to suffer persecution, to whatever degree that means for us, and for the promise of the Scripture that all who live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution. Lord, we do not welcome that, but we pray for great power and grace for the day that it comes to us. And whatever we must follow, or whatever we must suffer, Lord, in following Thee, help us to daily take up our cross. Lord, teach us what that means. Give us grace now tonight. We pray that every part of our service would be blessed and directed by the Holy Ghost. We ask that our brother, as he will come to testify, will know the help of the Holy Spirit. We pray as the men will sing, we will know the direction and help of God. Bless the song and the ministry to every heart. And then we pray for our brother Valenciano as he comes to minister the word. He will also know much help from heaven. So give us grace, Lord. Encourage every heart and bless us. We pray these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Number 265, please. There is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's veins, and sinners plunge beneath that flood, lose all their guilty stains. The tune is to Belmont. You'll recognize it as we stand again to sing. Please be seated. We welcome you all tonight to our evening service. We're very happy that you're here with us tonight, and we pray that you'll be blessed as you've come to fellowship. And if you're visiting over the internet tonight, by way of tuning in, you're most welcome indeed. And any others who are visiting for the first time or returned again, you're very, very welcome. We are happy that you're here to be one of our number. Please remember those in prayer that are on our bulletin, and those who can't be with us tonight. And I reminded you this morning of that terrorist attack that happened in Burkina Faso. And remember, please, the elderly couple, Dr. Elliot and his wife, as they have been taken captive, and that the Lord would just be with them and help them to be a witness, even in front of their captors at this time, and they would know the Lord's presence and grace. And remember also that other missionary that was killed in the explosion in the main city, in the Burkina Faso, that the Lord would bless his wife, Amy, as she comes to deal with that situation now. These are devastating things, but they're happening for us in real time. This is not something we're talking about by historical record or something 100 years ago. No, these things are happening now, right on in our time. So let's not forget to be in prayer for our missionaries, to be in prayer for the ones who are persecuted and in bonds, in prisons, and that God would give us a remembering heart, not a forgetful spirit, and that we would hold these dear ones up very much before God in prayer. Let me please remind you of some important announcements as we continue in our ministry this week. If you have your bulletin there, you could follow along with us some of these matters. Remember, please, the services this incoming week on Wednesday night are Bible study and prayer time. And what we're doing this Wednesday is that we are thinking about the theme of prayer. Well, you would think that would be normal for a Bible study and prayer time, but it's more of an emphasis specifically because the following Monday to Friday, the 25th to the 29th of January, we'll be having our annual week of prayer, meeting each night at 7:25, finishing by 9, and we want to really bring the matters that are a burden to us and concern to our congregation before the Lord, and as we stand much in need for His power every day. We stand in need of that no matter what we're doing, either in immediate ministry or in the home or the workplace or the school. May God come near and help us and answer the many prayers that we have. Then on Thursday evening, you will note there the Youth Fellowship and also the Ladies Missionary Fellowship. And I say again today that the special meeting for all the ladies in the church will be in our Whitfield Christian School on 7:30 Thursday night. And specifically the ministry will be to make things and be preparing things for our mission work in Africa, and specifically the work of FAME ministry. So please, ladies, come along and enjoy the fellowship and involve yourself in this very, very practical work. Christine Santos and Dana McAnally have asked me to make an announcement. It's a very important one regarding something that they're doing. It's a luncheon for the widows and widowers that are in our congregation. I thought this was a very good idea. And this will be a time of food and fun and fellowship. And it will be on Saturday, February the 6th at 12 p.m. And so if you fit into that category, then we would invite you to be along at that time. And it will be here in the church building. There is a sign-up sheet on the foyer, in the foyer as you leave tonight. You're welcome to put your name down there and come along and enjoy that time. If you have any questions, you can speak to either Christina or also to Dana at the end of the service tonight. Then also, could ask you to remember some of the advance notices there. We won't go over them all individually. We'll just leave them before you and ask you to pray for them earnestly that God would meet with us and help us. I mentioned this morning the special fund that we have set up for the heating upgrade project here. And you'll find information online on our church website as well, where I encourage you to go there and to sign up for information. You can receive the bulletins, the church bulletins. There are devotionals there. And I encourage you to go to torontofpc.ca. Not too hard to remember. When you go there, you can sign up on those things, and you'll be able to get all the information necessary at that time. Very happy tonight that our brother Koshi Matthew is here, and I've asked our brother to come and share with us a word of personal testimony. So brother Koshi, you come along and share with us what the Lord has done in your heart.
Good evening. Pastor Sanders asked me to give my testimony. First I hesitated and said no, not right away. But I didn't have any rest in my spirit. So here I am. I'm not going to say my testimony per se because it came in the Revivalist magazine in 2006, November edition. So I don't want to repeat it and bore you again with it. Thanks to Pastor McClelland and others who put it in the magazine. Maybe I can call this the second part of my testimony. If you haven't read the first part, I will briefly say how I came to know the Lord. It was through a bad back injury. The pain and suffering were so bad, I felt God was punishing me for my sins. When I was backed up against the wall, I fell flat on my face, confessed my sins, asked God to forgive me, and committed my life to the Lord Jesus Christ. That was about 43 years ago. I was a nominal Christian before. A nominal Christian is like a domesticated wild animal. The moment it returns to the wild, it becomes wild again. If I am talking too fast and you are not following me what I am saying, please let me know. I will slow down. I believe in the perseverance of the saints. That is John Calvin's fifth doctrine. I remember reading Adoniram Judson's missionary work in Burma. Now Myanmar, in a book called Golden Shore, I think. One time he was severely persecuted for his faith. He was chained with other prisoners and forced to walk on a high mountain road. He felt so depressed because of his suffering, a thought came to his mind to end it all. All he had to do was slip his foot and fall and plunge to his death, hundreds of feet below, along with others. But he couldn't do it. The Lord was with him to save him from that strong temptation. Now, why am I saying this? Because when you have to live with a thorn in the flesh, day in and day out, it is not easy to go on in life sometimes. I know it could be worse, so I am not complaining. What I am trying to say is that when we have trials, troubles and temptations, the only option we have is to cry out to God and look unto Jesus day by day. He is there to help and support us in those moments. His grace is sufficient for every situation. The Lord has been good to me all these years. Excuse me. When God is silent, His silence is the answer, as Oswald Chambers put it, because God knows we can stand a bigger revelation, as in the case of Martha and Mary, waiting for Jesus to come for Lazarus, or Mary Magdalene with the risen Savior, or Old Testament Job or Joseph, for that matter. They were all disappointed first, but rewarded with a great surprise later. I would like to say a little bit about the love of God. We sang the love of God this morning. That says it all. We know that God's ultimate love is sending His Son to die for us and redeem us from our sinful condition. It was a wonderful thing for God to do that for us. But it isn't easy to comprehend it, is it? I think it was Martin Luther who said, God dying by God, who can understand it? Let me give you a trivial example to shed some light on this matter and give a glimpse of God's love. There was an evangelist in India in the early 1900. His name was Sadhu Sundar Singh. His name means humble, beautiful lion. How about that for a name? When I say evangelist in India, he is not a man with a suit and tie. He is usually poor, goes from village to village, talks to people about Jesus and his salvation, and gives out gospel tracts. His mission field was Tibet in the Himalayas. There was another man before him who preached Jesus Christ in Tibet. His name was Kardar Singh. But people took him, put him in a wet yak skin, sewed it, put him out in the hot sun to die. The yak skin contracts in the heat and skews the victim to a horrible death within 3 days. On the third day, his face was full of joy and happiness. and felt no pain. He said to the onlookers, "Are you waiting to see a Christian die? A Christian doesn't die, he only starts living." Then he passed away. One day Sundar Singh was walking along near a jungle in the Himalayas. The jungle was on fire. While most people were busy putting the fire out, a group of men were standing on and looking on the top of a tree which had a bird nest, and the tree was on fire too. The mother bird was distressed and flying frantically. Finally, the nest was going to catch fire. The people wondered what would happen. Will the mother bird fly away, leaving the chicks? To their surprise, the bird came over the nest, sat and spread its wings over to protect its chicks, and all were burned to ashes. The evangelist turned around and said to the people, "It was only a bird, yet how great was the love for its chicks that it gave life for them." Then consider, how greater is God's love who created that bird, and he was able to tell them the good news of Jesus Christ. I retired in 2011. I was planning to work until 2012, not that I wanted to. So when I was planning for retirement, I thought I must give these people the gospel message. If I don't do it, nobody will. So I decided to write an article with the gospel message and emailed to all about 350 people who worked there on the last day of my work as a part of my farewell message and a thank you letter. I used to witness to them for the Lord, indirectly giving them beautiful wall calendars from Daily Bread people during the Christmas time. The calendars had nice scenery with the corresponding Bible verse on the bottom and their daily Bible reading schedule. People loved to receive it. They thought I was giving them some Christmas goodies. But my intention was to put Bible verse in their hand. The Lord enabled me to do it for several years. 1 year, as many as 150 of them were given out. I knew there were still many who haven't seen a Bible verse or a thought about God seriously. So when I finished writing the article, I got a letter from the company asking me to consider an early retirement. That was the perfect timing of the Lord. I took it as a blessing. I sent the email to everybody and one person thanked me for it. Another person got angry and wrote to me, "It is a ministry property, you can't use it for preaching, stop it now." I worked for the Ministry of Environment, by the way. Now think about it for a moment. Why was this person angry? Obviously he wasn't concerned about the property being used, because so much computer space is used for all kinds of religious festivals, information about special interest groups, and so on. So there is no, except for Christianity though, there is no problem with that. But when somebody gives the good news of Jesus Christ, people get upset. Why is this? It's simply because the darkness cannot stand light. Wickedness cannot face righteousness. Carnal mind is enmity against God. That's all. So if you are a new Christian, don't be surprised if the world doesn't treat you right. I would like you to have this article if it's okay with you. I think it's a good and beneficial reading, not because I wrote it, but because it has some good materials, quite a bit of materials from godly people's writing. It is written and compiled. It was on a Christian website for a few years. Well, so much for the sales pitch. But first I have to send it to Pastor Sanders for approval. If he approves it, he can have it. If he doesn't approve it, well, then we will have to work out something. I'm almost finished. I told you about the evangelist. One time he was talking to a group of Tibetan villagers. He explained the gospel to them, and lastly he said, "It is the blood of Jesus that saves you from sin." I can't explain that. You have to believe it and accept it by faith. Then the people said, "It's impossible. By death of one man, others can be saved. Everybody has to work for themselves and their own way to go to heaven." A young man said, "It's true. It's possible." The evangelist thought he was a Christian, but he didn't know anything about Jesus Christ. So the evangelist asked him, "How do you believe that Jesus' blood can save other people from their sins?" He said, "Because of my experience." He told them, "3 months ago I was walking on the Himalayan mountain and fell down all the way to the bottom, hitting many stones and lost all my blood. Laying there unconscious, my father found me and took me to the hospital. The doctor said, we can't do anything for him. If it's a broken bone or a disease, we can treat him. but he has lost all the blood. The life is in the blood, and we don't have any blood to give it to him. The father said, I have blood, can you give it to him? The doctor started transferring the blood from the father to the son. In the process, the father died because he was an old man, and the son revived. The young man said, my father died for me. He gave his life for me. So the people believed in the gospel of Jesus Christ. Medical science says human blood saves physical life. God says, his son's blood saves sinners from spiritual death. Finally, God gave us everything he had, even his beloved son. Don't we have to respond to this great love? If not, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? I did not ask you this question. The Bible asks you this question. And nobody has answered it yet, and nobody ever will in this world. Think about it, and God bless.
Thank you, Brother Koshy, for sharing with us what the Lord has done in your heart and your life, and we appreciate that word of testimony tonight. I'm going to call upon our men now who are going to come and sing and bring you a message in song.
Thank you.
invite you please to take your hymnal now, and we're going to take up the offering for the work of God, and we'll turn to number 621. 621. I'd like you to just watch the words, please, as the instruments play, and then we will stand to sing. Please remain seated while the offering is received. We sing verses 1 and 2. Verses 1 and 2. Mr. Roger Valenciano, for those of you who may not know, is serving in Toronto here as a ministerial intern, and we are thankful for the fellowship of our brother and pray that as he brings the word now, that he would know the hand of the Lord on him, and it would be a blessing to each one.
Before we come to God's word, let's bow in a word of prayer. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we rejoice to be in thy house tonight. O Lord, we are thankful for thy presence among us, O Lord, and I pray that thou will teach us tonight. O Lord, that we learn more of thee, of thy passion for thy church. Oh Lord, we pray that Thou help the preacher and the hearers. Bless us tonight. We pray in Christ's name. Amen. Our text tonight is in the book of Hebrews, chapter 13. Hebrews 13. And we read verse 3. And the Word of God says, "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." May the Lord bless the reading of His own precious and inspired word to our hearts tonight. On the morning of January 7th, 2015, so just about 1 year ago, around 11:30 a.m. local time, two Islamic terrorists armed with assault rifles forced their way into the offices of the French weekly newspaper Charlie Hebdo in Paris, France. They fired up to 50 shots, killed 12 people and injured many others. Witnesses, they said that they heard their shouting, "We have avenged the Prophet Muhammad," and "God is great" in Arabic language during this action. This newspaper, Charlie Hebdo, French for Weekly Charlie, is strong secularist, anti-religious, and left-wing. They love to mock Christians, Catholics, Jews, and others, including Muslims. And the cause for the terrorist attack against them was because they've published some cartoons representing the Prophet Muhammad, which many Muslims consider prohibited and a blasphemy against their religion. That's why the shouts that they have avenged the Prophet Muhammad. And since then, at least three different reactions have risen because of that terrorist attack. First, in many cities in France and in many other countries, and also through the internet, there were protests for freedom of speech. There was also the support of major media groups and governments, even from some Muslim groups. The United States Embassy in Paris changed its Twitter profile picture to the "Je suis Charlie" placard. This phrase, "Je suis Charlie," or "I am Charlie," became a very popular slogan in defense of free press. Second, also, there was a big concern among some agencies and human rights groups regarding a following increase in Islamophobia. In solidarity to the Muslims, Pope Francis, in an effort to demonstrate that there are limits to freedom of speech, declared that anyone who curses his mother can expect a punch. Third one, in many countries dominated by Islam, there were protests against some French institutions, but mainly against Christians. In Niger, normally a peaceful country, in just one day, at least 72 churches were burned and at least 10 people killed. The protesters were pretty much going around torching churches and non-Christian homes.
and they were marking other Christians' homes for further attack. In Nigeria and other African countries, many more Christians were killed. Their churches, schools, and houses were burned, and many had to flee to other countries. So I don't know if you have noticed, but there is something really wrong with this story. The media, people, and government, they were concerned about defending the freedom of speech. The Pope was concerned about defending offended Muslims. Humanitarian agencies and the liberal media, they were concerned about the possibility of a rising in Islamophobia. And tell me, who was concerned about all the Christians persecuted and murdered in those areas? And have you noticed that the Christians were blamed and suffered for something they were not even responsible for? A secular newspaper in France publishes something that the Muslims got offended for, and then they found it legitimate to attack Christians. And no one cares. Even the Pope, the one that claims to be the vicar of Christ, the one that claims to represent Christ on earth, seem to care more about not offending Muslims and move on his ecumenical agenda with other false religions than to defend Christians that suffer extreme persecution. And that persecution, it continues in many countries. We've just heard today of the tragedy in Burkina Faso, which grieved my heart. Why the world is concerned about everyone's cause except Christians? It's tragic, but it's something that the Lord Jesus Christ told us about. He tells us in John chapter 15, verse 18, "If the world hates you, you know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of the world would love his own. But because you are not of the world, but I have chosen you out of the world, therefore world hated you. Remember the word that I said unto you, the servant is not greater than his Lord. If they have persecuted me, they will also persecute you. If they have kept my saying, they will keep yours also." And then we come to our text for tonight. "Remember them that are in bonds, as bound with them. And they which suffer adversity, as being yourselves also in the body." The author of Hebrews commands us to remember that them that are suffering persecution for Christ's sake. The book of Hebrews was written in a context of a severe persecution against Christians. And there was a call for Christians to share the burdens of each other and pray for the ones that were suffering adversity. So I would like to bring to our attention three things tonight. First one, that the church is under persecution, brothers, in many areas. Many of our precious brothers and sisters in Christ, they are suffering tremendous persecution. And there is silence about that in the world. There are estimates that at least 105,000, I repeat, 105,000 Christians were killed just in 2012, because they professed the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And there is no reason to think that these numbers will decrease. And of all attacks motivated for religious intolerance, 75% were against Christians. And with all that reality, the media and governments are concerned with Islamophobia, but they remain silent with what's happening against the church. Just to give you an idea, I'll give you a ranking with the 10 worst countries for Christians, according to a Christian organization that support persecuted Christians. You can pray for them. North Korea is considered the worst one. And then Somalia, Iraq, Syria, Afghanistan, Sudan, Iran, Pakistan, Eritrea, and Nigeria. In some countries dominated by Islamic rules, they see it as offensive for someone to be converted from Islam to Christianity. So they believe it that is necessary in order to preserve their honor of their own religion, to kill the ones that profess faith in Jesus Christ. And I've heard that myself from Muslims and people that lived in Muslim countries. And they now are living here in Canada. So that's one of the reasons why when you check numbers of Christians in some of those countries, that there is barely any. Because or they are killed or they are hidden. And they kill Christians even if the person converted is from the same family. So if you get saved in those countries, you can't trust anyone, even your own parents. That reminds me, brothers, of the passage in Matthew chapter 10, verse 21. It says, "And the brother shall deliver up the brother to death, and the father the child, and the children shall rise up against their parents, and cause them to be put to death. And ye shall be hated of all men for my name's sake." But before, brothers, we start demonizing Muslims and others that persecute Christians, let me remind us of the words of Christ in Matthew 5, verse 44. "But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you." They are sinners that desperately needs God's grace too. So we are all commanded to pray for them. When you think about those that persecute the church, never forget that among those was Saul of Tarsus. Apostle Paul, he persecuted the church. But remember that God saved him. And all that he did for the cause of Christ. So there is hope for them too. Let's pray. Pray for those that persecute the church. That's a commandment from the Lord. But we are especially, brothers, commanded to pray for our brothers. As it says in 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 1 and 2. "Finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified, even as it is with you, and that we may be delivered from unreasonable and wicked men, for all men have not faith." Brothers, we need to have a burden for the church. And the reason for that is that the church is one body. Remember them that are in bonds as bound with them, and them which suffer adversity as being yourselves also in the body. In Matthew Henry commentary, it says, the reason of the duty as being yourselves in the body, not only in the body natural, and so liable to the like sufferings, and you should sympathize with them now that others may sympathize with you when your time of trial comes. But in the same mystical body, under the same head, and if one member suffer, all the rest suffer with it. It would be unnatural in Christians not to bear each other's burden. Paul specifically teaches us about the church being one body in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. It says in verse 25 to 27 that there should be no skins in the body, but that the members should have the same care one for another. And whether one member suffer, all the members suffer with it. Or one member be honored, all the members rejoice with it. Now ye are the body of Christ, and members in particular. There is a connection between all true believers. And in the same manner that we are united to Christ, that is our head, we are also united to our brothers and sisters in Christ and form one body. Doesn't matter where someone is. Doesn't matter the language he speaks. Doesn't matter if he's rich or poor, educated or not, young or old. If any person has his sins washed by the blood of the Lamb, truly saved by the gospel, that is the power of God unto salvation, that person is in the body of Christ. And if any member suffers, we should suffer with it. If any member rejoices, we shall all rejoice with it. The mark of the union among God's people is love. In the context of our passage, it says in Hebrews 13, verse 1, let brotherly love continue. That points to what Jesus said previously on how his disciples were going to be recognized by the world. If you love one another. It is a love that cares for one another. It's a selfless and gracious love. And isn't that the kind of love that Christ has for us? Because of God's love, we are part of His church. So shouldn't we love one another and suffer as they are suffering for professing Christ in places where there is persecution? Let us pray for the ones under persecution, brothers, that they can persevere and continue to share the gospel to others. Let us continue also to pray for missionary work, specifically in Ivory Coast and Burkina Faso tonight, where the Briggs family is. And also for our other missionary works. Let's pray for them, O Lord. Let's pray. They need our prayers. But now, let me encourage you. If we stop and consider what is going on in so many different places, we can see, brothers, that the church is advancing. Christ is building His church all over the world. God is keeping His promise that the gates of hell will never prevail against it. The kingdom of God is advancing. And praise the Lord. In the same manner as we need to suffer with those that suffer as one body, we should also rejoice as one body. And there are many reasons to rejoice. Let me tell you something. Sometimes we pray for the Lord to save people here and throughout the world. We do outreach. We get excited when we see someone saved. We get excited about missions. We pray for revival. And really, we don't know much of what's going on the world concerning the church. But let me tell you, God's saving millions and millions of people in many different areas of the world. I don't know about you, but I'm used to hear that nothing is going on the church, that Christianity is dying, that most people are indifferent to God nowadays, that revival is impossible in our age, that we live in dark, dark times. But let me encourage you, brothers, let us look around. I doubt there was any time in our history where there were more people saving the earth than in our present time. Even in the free church, our small denomination. Think about what happened in Nepal in the last 10 years. Such a great move from God in that small country. That church started from scratch. And in about 10 years, there are about 100 churches there. And they're already sending missionaries to other places. And think also about other places. Think about all that the Lord is doing in many places. It's hard to follow what's going on in every country. But it's amazing to stop and think of what the Lord is doing in China, or in South Korea, or in India, or in many countries in Africa. And I'm pretty sure that even here, some of you can tell more about what's going on in your specific countries that we're from. Christ is building His church. It's difficult to find numbers for most of these countries, but I can at least give you numbers about Brazil, just because I'm more familiar with that. There is no persecution there, praise the Lord. But since 1890, the number of Protestant Christians over there had doubled every 15 years. Continually, in a period of 125 years, it had grown from pretty much nothing to 25% of the population. That means 50 million people. And that means 2.5 million people were added to the church just last year over there. 14,000 churches were opened there just last year. If that's not revival, I really don't know what is it. The Lord is building His church, and that should encourage us, and we should rejoice with them as one body. But, well, I realize that many times not all that growth around the world, and even here, consists of the best and pure biblical doctrine. But please consider, first, that there are many of those churches that are very sound and biblical. And second, we need to realize that believers can and should grow in their faith and the knowledge of Jesus Christ. That's what the Apostle Paul prayed for, as we can read in Colossians chapter 2, verses 1 to 3. It says, "For I would that ye knew what great conflict I have for you, and for them at Laodicea, and for as many as have not seen my face in the flesh, that their hearts might be comforted, being knit together in love, and unto all riches of the full assurance of understanding, to the acknowledgement of the mystery of God, and of the Father, and of Christ, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge." This that Paul was addressing, they were all new converts that Paul never met. But Paul, he had a burden for them, and he prayed for them to grow in their knowledge of the Father and of Christ, for them to become mature believers. And as Paul, we should also pray that the church would grow in the knowledge of the Father and of Christ, so that Christ's name would be more and more glorified by His church. But nevertheless, Paul rejoiced in hearing of their faith, as it says in verse 5, that same chapter, "For though I be absent in the flesh, yet I am with you in the Spirit, joying and beholding your order and the steadfastness of your faith in Christ." Paul, he rejoiced for the many new believers in different parts of the world, even if their faith was very simple. And he prayed for them, for their growth. And you and I, we must do the same, for the glory of God, and for the furtherance of His kingdom. Amen. Let's pray. Our Father in heaven, O Lord, we think about this, about your world, about your church, O Lord, about the body of Christ. O Lord, we pray for a burden for thy people, that we can see and understand that mystical union they have among fellow Christians throughout the world, O Lord. We pray that we can have a burden for them, O Lord, as they suffer, as they are persecuted, as they are in bonds, O Lord, that we suffer with them. And also, O Lord, as they prosper and grow, and they get saved, O Lord, that we may rejoice with them, O Lord. Let's help us to see the big picture, Lord. Help us to see what's going on throughout the world, O Lord, and understand and feel the unity that we have with your body, and that one day, O Lord, we'll be in glory in heaven and we'll have fellowship with all of them, and that we may rejoice with them. Bless us tonight, O Lord. Depart us in thy precious faith. Amen.